Hi there. Before we begin, let me explain something. This 12-part series was made at WYSO, a small public radio station in Southwest Ohio. We had financial support from Ohio Humanities, but we relied on WYSO's staff and infrastructure to get the job done. We'd be grateful if you could make a contribution at wyso.org. Thanks. Hi, I'm Nina Ellis, and this is the 12th and final episode of The Ohio Country.
And I'm Chris Welter. In episode one, I talked to Chief Glenna Wallace of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma, which is growing and offering more and more services to its citizens under her leadership. There is a language revitalization going on among the Eastern Shawnee, and other tribes too. It's part of a cultural reawakening after generations of repression by the U.S. government. We began our podcast with Chief Wallace, and we'll end with her too. But first, we go to the long-awaited grand opening of Great Council State Park, one of many projects Chief Wallace collaborated on in the last 20 years, all of them part of a new chapter in Ohio. You're listening to The Ohio Country, from the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at public radio station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
On U.S. 68 in Greene County, there's a tiny unincorporated community called Old Town on a high spot of land overlooking the Little Miami River. If you've ever driven by here, you probably remember the Tecumseh Motel, but it's gone now, and in its place is a sparkling new building designed to resemble the Shawnee Council House that was here 244 years ago. When 1,000 Shawnee people had a community here called Old Chillicothe. It's Friday, June 8th, 2024, bright and clear. The governor of Ohio steps to a microphone in front of a crowd of maybe 1,000 people, and he's beaming.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. This is a special day. Look at the weather. Yeah. Isn't this great? For those of you not from Ohio, it's like this every day.
So, yeah.
Even in February, Chief. No. So we do dedicate today our 76th state park, Great Council State Park. This is the first state park in Ohio dedicated to telling the story of our Native Americans. Our Native Americans who truly, truly were the first Ohioans.
Governor Mike DeWine recognizes that his forebears were not here first. His great-great-grandfather DeWine fled the potato famine in Ireland, and here in Greene County, the family prospered. His wife's family settled here well before that.
Let me introduce my bride of 57 years, my wife, Fran.
By all accounts, Fran DeWine championed this park because this place is personal to her. She's the mother of 8, grandmother to 28, and great-grandmother to 1. Her family has prospered here for generations, and she wants her descendants to know and respect this land.
You know, I think one reason I have a love for this area is, you know, not only did Mike and I grow up just down the road, but my mother was born about 2 miles behind us. And her family came over in 1814. This is part of the Virginia military lands, and they had part of a grant. And so, you know, I think 4 great-grandfather actually came over, built a house there in 1815, and our family is still there today. My cousin still lives in the house where my mom was born. And so my family has great respect for this land. And I know the Native Americans had great respect for this land. And so I think that's the important thing that we have to take away. We have to respect our land and treat it well. And I think that this museum is going to help us learn how to do that.
Scores of Shawnee people are in the audience today. At least one bus full has come from Oklahoma. Once their families lived here. Today's event feels like a reunion. There's lots of hugging going on. After several state employees speak, a representative from each of the Shawnee tribes comes forward, starting with Chief Glenna Wallace, who's chosen to recite a proverb.
This is a Creek proverb, and it indicates, "We warm our hands by the fires that we did not build. We eat the fruit of the trees that we did not plant. We drink from the wells that we did not dig. And we stand upon the shoulders of giants who have gone before us." For every single person involved in the beginning, the construction, and then the future of this, you are indeed a giant, and we congratulate you. Thank you.
Ben Barnes, chief of the Shawnee tribe, speaks next. As we've heard in previous episodes, Barnes is a passionate leader, outspoken and forceful on so many issues. Today he wears a big smile and expresses gratitude.
I'm Ben Barnes, chief of the Shawnee, and it is my pleasure to be here today, and I want to thank Xenia for the hospitality you've given us and shown us, the warm welcome you've given us. I do have to confess, it's been a lot of years since I've been in Xenia. The last time I was here, the Cincinnati Reds were good.
And finally, Joseph Blanchard, treasurer of the absentee Shawnee tribe of Oklahoma. He elaborates on the Creek proverb read by Chief Wallace.
Chief Wallace talked about the Creeks. Most people don't realize that our great leader Tecumseh, who we are the direct descendants of, was part Creek. So we acknowledge our relatives of the Creek Nation. We acknowledge all of our relatives and who, as has already been mentioned, the giants who have come before us that we stand upon. It's their legacy, it's their culture that we continue.
All right, everybody help us count us down from three. Three, two, one. All right, Grand Council State Park is now open.
As people move eagerly toward the new building, Chief Glenna comes back to the podium to fulfill a tradition and give gifts on this historic occasion.
These are simple gifts. The Indian Removal Act was passed in 1830. In 1831, my tribe, along with the Senecas, were absolutely the first to have to sign a treaty saying we would be removed from Ohio. And so we walked, arriving there in 1832. What I have here is a cup that has the pictures of all of our tribal chiefs.
Several state officials receive gifts, and Talon Silverhorn, too. He's the cultural programs manager at this new park. And then Chief Wallace gets to Governor DeWine.
And then for Governor DeWine, it is sacred in our culture. The best way we can honor someone is with a Pendleton blanket. Governor, I have promised you a Pendleton blanket. I have told you you need to come to Oklahoma. This is the box that it comes in, but the blanket is not there. And from going through this museum, I learned something. When they removed the Shawnees, the federal government said they would pay for that removal as long as it did not cost more than $20 per head. We will help pay your transportation costs as long as it is not more than $20 per head. So we expect to see you in Oklahoma. Governor DeWine.
In Oklahoma. Yes.
Later that night, I met Chief Wallace at Fort Ancient, a Native American earthworks complex an hour south on the Little Miami River, where she had gone with a bus full of her fellow Shawnee families who'd come to Ohio with her for the grand opening. Many Shawnee people believe they're descended from the people who built this place, so the site holds significant historical and cultural importance to them. It's recently been recognized as a World Heritage Site. We've heard about these bus tours before. Present-day citizens come to see and feel the places their ancestors lived, and to get to know 21st century Ohio, too. I overheard people talking about how green and beautiful the countryside is in Ohio in June.
Getting to this day took a lot of effort by Glenna Wallace, who is 85 years old now. She grew up poor in Oklahoma during the Great Depression. She told that story in episode one. And as an adult, she was totally assimilated into white culture. Her family had decided it was their key to survival. She was the first woman in her family to graduate from high school and college. She had a career in higher education, 40 years at Crowder College in Neosho, Missouri, 15 miles from where she was born, as an instructor, department chair, division chair, interim academic dean, and as director of travel. During those years at Crowder, she visited 70 countries. Whenever she could, she visited UNESCO World Heritage Sites, paying close attention to the places where indigenous cultures across the world had made a mark. In the early 2000s, she started to research her own tribe's history. She says she knew very little before that. And during that time, she drove 700 miles to hear the British author John Sugden speak at Ohio State. He wrote a biography of Tecumseh. And while in Columbus, she went with a group to see the Newark Earthworks at the Mound Builders Country Club. And they happened to be there during a busy golf tournament.
And here we had a busload of people to drive up, and we wanted to walk up to the viewing platform to see the Newark Earthworks. I was in that group, and it was only natural for those employees to say, "We have to get through. You're in the way. Get back. Get off the steps, you know, get off the track here, because it's a limited access there." And they came by and we stepped back, but then they came by again and said we hadn't stepped back enough. And about the third time, then one of them said, "You just need to leave. You don't belong here." I understand where they were coming from, but to say you don't belong here, and then I finally made it up the steps and looked out of that viewing platform, and what I saw, because of those 70 countries and numerous World Heritage sites that I had viewed, visited, walked so often, and because of those 3 years of researching my tribal history and 3 years of giving programs, I had a knowledge that other people did not have.
You knew what you were looking
at. And the
at.
Minute I looked out and saw what I saw, I knew that I was looking at something that was equally spectacular to the Great Wall of China, to the pyramids. And I knew those stories. Both of those were forced labor. Both of those were people who had to do that. They didn't choose to do that. And Newark Earthworks is entirely different than that. These were our ancestors, and I don't say just my ancestors, our Native American ancestors, who did this because they wanted to, who did this because there was a spirituality, who did this and who it was in essence their trip to Mecca, it was their trip to Jerusalem, they came from all parts of the United States, and every time they came, they brought a basket full of Mother Earth. Not just dirt, not just soil, as we use those words. Mother Earth was sacred. Our Native American ancestors, I firmly believe, were the first people involved in ecology and were maintaining the environment and loved the environment. They didn't believe you could own land. They didn't believe you could own a star. They didn't believe you could own the sun or the moon or the rain. And land fell into that category. It was sacred and something that you use, but you never abuse. And they came willingly, annually if possible, for years and years, and they built these earthworks. Now, to many people, earthworks are always mounds, but they aren't always mounds. Oftentimes they are walls of enclosure.
Like here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And most of those mounds were burial mounds, but not all of them were, because they would build mounds at places where special occasions had occurred. And those mounds were sacred to us. And when I looked out, at first I recognized the quality, the enormous energy, the commitment, the love that had to have gone into constructing them. And at first I was so proud, so excited that they were still being preserved and that these were still intact. Because you see, I've read that in the 1900s, there were more than 10,000 mounds in Ohio.
I've read that too.
And I've also read, though, that there are fewer than 1,000 today. So all were not being preserved. They were being destroyed quickly. Maybe not deliberately, but they weren't preserved. And here were these mounds that had been preserved that were just so thrilling to look at. And then from that pride then came questions of, but why is there a golf course on top of these mounds? And I thought Ohio history was in charge of these mounds, that they were the ones that, this was one of the historic places that they were responsible for. And then I learned that they had leased this to a place called Mound Builders Country Club that I understand why they named it, but that was another insult for our mounds. And I walked away crying. I came down those viewing steps and I was saying the biblical scripture, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I came away committed, saying, I do not know what one voice can do, but I do know I can't be silent about this.
And she wasn't silent. She got elected chief of the Eastern Shawnee in 2006 and got increasingly involved with the state of Ohio. And she worked hard. She says she's had a strong work ethic since she was a child. So in the time that Glenna Wallace has been coming to Ohio, she's accomplished a lot, even though she's taken some political criticism for all the time spent here. Just in the last year, UNESCO has recognized the Ohio Hopewell Earthworks as a World Heritage Site, and the state of Ohio opened the new State Park 2, which was high on her list of priorities, to make sure the Shawnee story is told by them and maybe help undo some of the erasure of tribal history that the state helped to promote, or at least ignored, for 200 years.
I didn't do all of that. I'm just simply the Native American who happened on the scene accidentally, and it was just like the work ethic that I had as a child.
I moved in that direction,
and there were people here who did know and who were seeking World Heritage, but they just weren't getting anywhere.
And then you
it takes a
in.
Native American voice, because it's Native American mounds. And so I can't give credit enough to Bert Logan, who became the CEO there of the Ohio History, and under his leadership, they changed that name from Ohio History Society to Ohio History Connections, and that's exactly what he did. And he did not have a background. He's not Native American. He has never been associated with a tribe, but he was willing to read, and he was willing to take history, and he was willing to say, mistakes have been made here. Yeah. Mistakes have been made here. Yeah. And that message spread across. And so today it's not just the Great Council Park. It is a movement that is spreading across Ohio, an awareness, a recognition that things were done that should not have happened, and that we were always labeled as the enemy, the aggressors, as the word has been applied so many times, savages.
I want to ask you about something that happened today at the ceremony, which I'd like to hear from your point of view, what really happened there. There was a formal dedication. The governor spoke eloquently. Mrs. DeWine spoke. The head of ODNR, a lot of people, three representatives from different Shawnee tribes. And then The governor said, okay, it's open. Let's cut the ribbon. And then you came to the microphone. And I'm very curious about what transpired there, because you were the only one who
used the word removal. I did not know, as I said, they had a reception the night before, so yesterday evening, and that was the first time that I had gone through the Interpretive Center, the museum, and that was the first time that I had read that. And so there is a section up there that indicates about the removal.
Yep. And on the second floor, there's a little display.
Floor, mm-hmm. And it states that the government was told the people that it should not be more costly than $20 per head. I had never heard of that, and I thought my great-great-great-grandfather was worth more than $20. So that hurt, but at the same time, I'm not here to make people guilty, to make them feel guilty. I am here to say we are living in the present, and we were removed from here. But Bill Mann, who I also honored, is a person who does many of the exhibits for Ohio History Connection. And I love him dearly, but he has told me that when he was in public school, he was honestly taught that all the Indians were dead. And we aren't. We are alive. And our history has been misrepresented. I'm not saying that we did not do some things that should not have happened, but it happened on both sides. And I don't want to come and make people feel defensive. I don't want to come and make people feel guilty. I want to come and say, let's begin fresh and let's begin as friends. I'm not going to try to push anything down your throats. But at the same time, we can't say the Indians gave away their land. That did not happen. You were asking about that, or at least mentioned that I was the only one that dared bring up the word removal. And anytime I speak, I do not want to speak with anger. I do not want to speak with bitterness. And I don't want the audience to feel anger or to feel bitterness. I simply want to open a dialogue. And I think of that song, "A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down." The story is not a pleasant story. But all of us alive today, we weren't responsible for that. So why put the guilt on people? I don't intend to do that. I just say I come willing to speak to you, but I will always try to have a message of hope. I will always try to have history in there. I will always try to have humor in there so that you can go away and make the decision for yourself. Do I really know the history of Ohio?
Chief Glenna Wallace of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma.
A few weeks after the Great Council State Park opened, the Ohio History Connection announced that it had settled out of court with the Mound Builders Country Club and that the earthworks in Newark, Ohio will be open to the public in January 2025, 20 years after Chief Glenna first visited there and vowed to speak up.
When we began to research this podcast and to think hard about new perspectives on Ohio history, suddenly, everywhere we looked, we noticed what was missing. The Native people, whose names have been given to rivers, counties, schools, companies, and sports teams. The words Miami and Shawnee and Tecumseh are everywhere, but what of the people themselves?
When we started, we didn't have a clear sense of who they are, where they are, or what they value. But now, 3 years later, we've met so many people collaborating to discuss, rethink, and rewrite the narrow interpretation of history we've inherited in Ohio. tribal citizens, Ohio government officials, teachers, writers, historians, artists, archaeologists, museum professionals. Chief Glenna Wallace is not alone in raising her voice.
There's a teaching embraced by the indigenous tribes we've talked to that says decisions should be made not to benefit ourselves, but instead for the welfare of our descendants 7 generations from now. Chief Wallace referenced it when she said, "We stand on the shoulders of giants." 7 generations from now is 2199. Is it possible for the rest of us to think that far ahead? To try and solve the threatening problems before us as a state and a nation? And can we afford not to? For the Ohio Country, I'm Nina Ellis.
And I'm Chris Welter. Thank you so much for listening.
This was the 12th and final episode of the Ohio Country called Great Council State Park. It was written by Nina Ellis with help from Chris Welter, the managing editor of the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices, and Adriana Martinez-Smiley, the Environment and Indigenous Affairs reporter at WISO. The series editor has been Samantha Summer, WISO's news director. Dr. John Bickers has been our cultural advisor. He's a member of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma, an assistant professor of history at Case Western University, and received his PhD at The Ohio State University. His first book project, The Miami Nation, A Middle Path for Indigenous Nationhood, is an exploration of the political history of the Miami tribe through the 19th and early 20th centuries. It's forthcoming from Indiana University Press. Layla Troyer designed our logo. She is also a member of the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma and a graduate of Miami University. Thanks to Chief Glenna Wallace of the Eastern Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, and the Ohio History Connection. Thanks also to the staff of public radio station WYSO, including Luke Dennis, the general manager, Amanda Burks, the director of development and communications, Heather Martin for press outreach, and Caitlin Schrader, the digital editor and deputy news director. To find photographs, maps, and links, go to wyso.org/podcasts. I'm the series digital producer, Mary Evans, and also the creator of the radio series and podcast called Reentry Stories. The Ohio Country was created at the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at public radio station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. It was made possible through a partnership with Ohio Humanities, a nonprofit that shares stories to spark conversations and inspire ideas, and by the National Endowment for the Humanities, a More Perfect Union initiative. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Ohio Humanities or the National Endowment for the Humanities.
To see visual content related to the Ohio Country, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And for a full transcript of every episode made by humans, go to wyso.org.
Hello again. Now that you've heard this episode, let me explain again. This 12-part series was made at a small public radio station in Southwest Ohio called WYSO. We had financial support from Ohio Humanities, but we relied on WYSO staff and infrastructure to get the job done. So we'd be grateful if you could make a contribution at wyso.org. Thanks.